Okay, good afternoon. I hope everybody's kind of already in a party mindset. So I try to make this session demo intensive, so you got to see something and not focus too much on slides. However, we'll have to start with a few slides. We're talking about Kinect for Windows today. And I want you to get an idea what this Kinect for Windows version 2 is, understand what it can do, and, get some pointers how to get started with doing something with it, maybe. This is not a developer-centric session. There's another session on Friday which will actually go into code, just to set expectations today. A little bit about me. I have been around in the industry for a while. Typically don't deal with cool stuff, but more with architecture, things that nobody sees, connecting systems, BizTalk, and whatsoever. However, I thought it would be fun to do something for a game change. So what is this Kinect thing, right? I mean, it's a new camera. You can see in 3D. We will talk about the technology a little bit later. I mean, I will try to get a little bit deep into the hardware even. Has a video camera, a very nice microphone array, and what makes it really strong, also an SDK, so that software developers can leverage it to write applications for it. So the few features compared to also the previous sensor is it has a very nice field of view, can almost see a whole living room, and frankly it was engineered to work in a living room scenario because it comes from the Xbox One. When it comes to depth, it can see depth and how that works, I will explain to you. With a fidelity that's 3 times better than the Kinect for Windows, the Kinect for Windows version 1 or the Kinect for Xbox 360. The technology has changed for that. It has an infrared picture that it can give you that's lighting independent. So if anybody wants to get a flashlight out and wants to challenge me in a bit, you're welcome to do that, or your cell phone when we get to the demos. Has a great microphone that's zero balanced and can actually also position things in space and can see people, get an understanding of people in the sense of that it sees joints of a person. Furthermore, it's able to have some level of hand or thumb tracking. It's able to see if your hand is closed, open, or makes a gesture, and has a pretty good range. It supports a range from 0.5 meters up to 4.5 meters optimized and can go a little further with decreased accuracy. So what's the new things? Like, you can buy this. Everybody can buy Kinect for Windows. The link is there. You can also, and that's a new announcement from last week, if you have an Xbox One, you can buy an adapter for, I think, €49 here or $49 in the US to connect this the Kinect from your Xbox One to your PC and start developing. There's a single set of APIs that you can use across different platforms. So think about it this way. If you develop some intellectual property, some code, and you write it for desktop or for Windows Store, eventually the idea is you will be able to leverage also to run on Xbox. I'm not part of the Xbox team, and again, I don't work for Microsoft, so I cannot tell you about when this might be happening. But the thing is, like, you can get started with developing for Kinect now and have a good chance to be able to run it on Xbox later on. Right now, you can already publish apps for the Windows Store, and there are already a few apps published there. We will maybe have a look at one of them or two of them during this presentation. Then furthermore, there are various plugins to other systems that you can leverage to develop apps. A very popular engine is the Unity engine for game development. So that's also a way to build apps for Kinect for Windows. User scenario. So what can you do with it? Of course, you can do games, right? But we have seen a lot of interest in the industry, for example, in retail. In fact, if you go to the Explore area and the data platform area, there's a nice demo that shows you a heat map even in a room where people walk, and Kinect was used to develop that heat map to see where they're standing. Another thing is like to interact with visual displays. You grab something and a visual display is to be able to display you something. Physical therapy, very interesting scenarios. Actually have something that could be a foundation for physical therapy as a demo later on. Think about, you get an insight into what the body's doing, how they're moving, so you could help people when they're not able to see a physical therapist to correct their posture and so on. So in an aging population, that could also help in home improving scenarios at home. Healthcare. What you see at the top is a physician who's scrubbed in, sterile, and needs to interact with the display. So you're able to use Kinect to, let's say, forward an MRI image without needing to touch it. Education, of course, like interactive applications, gamification, things that are engaging for kids to work on, can also be leveraged with Kinect. And finally, training, like record an optimal path of action or a posture of the body to lift something, and you would be able to use Kinect, for example, to get that into the field. A little bit about the actual hardware. So what you see here is a Kinect for Windows sensor. In the middle, there are a few IR emitters, and I have actually a screenshot of a website that tore down. Has a power light, an RGB camera, and a microphone array. So to look quickly at the inside of, come on, is it switching? Yep. So this is what the Kinect look like if you open it. Like, the website is ifixit.com. You can check it out yourself. In the middle of this, you see those IR emitters, and you see that there are actually three little areas in that IR emitter. It will make more sense why it has three if you look at the following slide. So if you look at the hardware of the Kinect, the question is, how is it able to see in 3D? How does it do the infrared and so on? An IR emitter is relatively boring if you just use it without any tricks. I mean, you emit light in the RF spectrum, you get it back, you can see in the dark, but it's still susceptible to other infrared lights. It's not a sensor that sees in the dark, so the wavelengths are different. And this information actually is not by me. There's a paper, the link is there, it's published publicly, so everybody who's in research can read the details how that works. So what it does, it modulates an infrared signal and has a specific chip on it that's able to recognize, based on its internal clock, what the modulation is when it returns, and then can correlate the time it took for the infrared to come back and forth based on the modulation. It has three of those IR emitters at different frequency lengths to be able to cover a better range and higher precision. I mean, that's as far as I want to go into there, and otherwise I would refer you to that paper, which really gives you a deep insight into that. The trick is that with this type of modulation, you can achieve at least two things. One is get an understanding about the distance, like a time-of-flight camera. And the other thing is, because you're only reacting to the light that you modulated yourself, you're independent of other light sources. So if I would stand there and you would shine a regular flashlight onto me, you wouldn't see the flashlight. And that is very important, because all the other tech, like the skeletal track and what we will look at later on, is based on being able to always see in no matter what the light conditions are. To give you a visual impression about what the different data sources are of Kinect, so we have, of course, a color picture. Then we have an infrared picture in the dark, and a visualization of depth. And then something that's interesting, it's called the body index. So the body index is based on a pixel mask that you can use with your infrared or a depth image to get an idea, hey, which pixels probably belong to a body that we detect. So the Kinect for Windows engine detects up to 6 bodies, right? Any more in a room, and it will not pick them up. And then there's finally audio. I can't visualize that there, but there's a little demo I can show you in a sec. So what do we do with this, right? I mean, we can build applications for it. And if you think about the whole stack, on the bottom, you would see the Kinect sensor. Then, if you plug it in, it will install actually right now automatically some drivers, which you can also install when you download the SDK. And then on top of this, there's a runtime. So there's a process on, like a service actually running on your PC, ingesting all the data from the Kinect for Windows and making it available to apps running on that PC. This works through shared memory, and so it's able to serve more than one application at the same time. That's the difference to the previous Kinect technology. On top of that, then they have basically three paths you can work with it. One is if you want to build Windows Store apps, you would run on a Windows RT API. It comes out of the box, nice examples, nice documentation. That .NET API, or finally, you can work in a native API in C, C++, or anything else that you would like. The hardware is relevant. So there's a recommendation that you need an i7 processor. But in fact, it runs on the first Surface Pro, for example. So an i5 is sufficient for a lot of scenarios. But if you have very sophisticated processing running in some apps, it might not be enough to keep up with that. RAM, again, Kinect for Windows shares the RAM with applications. So you want to have good RAM. High-speed RAM if possible. But again, for most scenarios, a regular Surface 1 is sufficient. GPU, DirectX 11 is required. So why is that required? Because Kinect for Windows actually uses a GPU for some of its internal processing. So it ingests like a stream in the from all the different IR sources and makes sense of that and adds them up, does some magic, some algorithms running on the GPU to then get to the depth information. Otherwise, it wouldn't be able to handle all this, the load of information every second. But again, the Surface 1, those built-in chipsets into the Intel processors and their chipsets is sufficient to run it at sufficient performance. Then the last part is a little bit tricky for some people who have older PCs. You need USB 3, again, for the bandwidth it requires. And the supported chipsets are Intel or Renesas. There might be other chipsets that work also, but it's currently not supported. From an operating system perspective, Windows 8 or Windows 8.1, not because the Microsoft team is evil or something, it's just because the USB stack has been improved to handle all this bandwidth that's necessary. The design principles for everything that Kinect is doing in its own service and that you also should be doing if you would develop apps or you tell your developers to do is you want to minimize the things you do per frame because there's a lot of data going through. You want low latency, and you get low latency and high throughput from the sensor, so you should keep up with that. And, well, the idea is we want to expose low-level data, but also some high-level information to you through the SDK and through additions to the SDK. So the Kinect data sources, I showed them in an overview already. So I will click through relatively fast with that so I can show it to you. Again, we have the physical image sensors. One is a regular 1080p, 30 frames per second in good light condition, or it falls down to 15 frames per second when the lighting is not good. And it's a pretty clear picture. It's so clear that there are even examples where people wrote an algorithm to detect a heart rate by the flushing of the skin. And that's actually built in into the Xbox One fitness app. But the intellectual property for that is not yet available publicly. I don't know when they or if they will ever do that. Then the infrared sensor, it's 512 by 424. You notice that the aspect ratio is a little bit different, so you will not be able to, for example, get a depth image or an infrared image on the corners of the picture. Okay, that was what I just mentioned. The infrared again, with ambient light removed. The depth gives you a depth value as a, first of all, as a 16-bit value that is, in terms of millimeters, from the focal distance of the camera. There are also other types of formats you can convert it to. I will get to that in a little bit. And then the body index that I mentioned. Now let's talk about the body in a little bit. Again, a body gets detected typically from a half a meter to 4.5 meters, and it's engineered to detect like a small child, let's say 2 or 3 years old already, up to like a, I don't know, hunky 2 meters something person. Again, the reason is it's coming from a gaming platform and they wanted to support all types of living room scenarios. They actually went into, I don't know, 15,000 or so living rooms in different lighting conditions to train their machine learning to with typical postures and gestures and body to get all those body tracking working, and had an army of people tagging all the imaging that they got out of that. So it provides you 25 joints for a body, and those joints correlate to, well, approximately those positions on a typical human skeleton. Additionally, you get hand state for two bodies currently, so you would need to say, hey, which people want to interact with the display or with the Kinect application. And hand state would mean there could be like a hand open, hand closed, and what they call a lasso movement. Yeah, I don't know why they call it lasso, but they call this a lasso movement. They had to make a trade-off again because they want to support even small children and large people to be able to detect the hand. Furthermore, it supports something called lean. So think about your body as a joystick, lean forward, lean backward, lean right, lean left, and gives you in the API the value of how much you lean. And this is like pretty much if you would visualize that. So audio frame source is, again, it's audio, has 4 microphones, and can pinpoint a person in space. Let's look at a little bit how that looks like in the demo. So first of all, when you install Kinect for Windows, one of the things you get is a nice, a nice SDK browser. Oh, it doesn't. Okay, that's interesting. Because I pressed the wrong button. Okay, when you install Kinect for Windows, it comes with a browser of all the SDK samples that you can think of for all the different base functionalities. Those samples are actually updated online on demand. And one of the first things you want to do after you do that, you can run a configuration verifier. If everything is in order, it checks if your system complies with the requirements. I had a few systems that, for example, were a little bit slow on the depth and color streams, so that can happen. Now, to get an idea about how it really feels like, okay. This is what the Kinect actually sees now in space as the depth stream and on the left side. You see the few gentlemen sitting in the front. You can actually see their body postures just from the depth. You see a little bit of warble, I would call it. Like there's some changes over time that's based on how the modulation works. But when you would write your own apps, you probably would average over time and get a pretty steady picture of what a person looks like in space. So at the bottom, you see again a different stream. If I walk to the left and I talk, you see it recognizes that my voice is coming from the left. Like, can you say something?
Hello.
Louder?
Hello.
See, it recognized that you said something and knew the directions where you're standing relatively to the camera. Now, let me get that that block man activated. Because that's a nice visualization. Did it take it? Yeah, that's a nice visualization of a body. Actually, I need to adjust the camera a little bit. So you see corresponding to me that to all my joints, like little blocks. And there's one cool thing that I didn't mention before. Like beside of the joint positions, it actually gives you a rotational angle of how the joints are located to each other. So if I twist my my body, it actually twists the torso and so on. That's not entirely trivial. Like if I shuffle my hands, twist my hand, it moves around. So on how that looks like in coding and so on, that's a different story. For folks who are in game development and so on, they're using quaternions to visualize that, to represent that. It's basically a fancy way of representing 3D rotations or efficiently. So let's also, come on. So that was the Kinect Evolution demo, which is available in the Windows Store, by the way. You can just, even without installing an SDK, you can just go to the Windows Store and download it now. So this is just a demo from the SDK that shows the infrared image. You see, of course, as you go further away, I mean, it doesn't do magic, and the infrared picture gets a little bit blurred, but a little bit dark. But if I move closer, well, it can see me no matter how light or dark it might be. If you would have a flashlight and would shine it at me, it wouldn't be impressed at all. Like, if somebody wants to try that and has it available, we can do that. A little detail information, there are actually two IR color infrared streams you can leverage from the API. One is called long exposure. The reason being, can I grab that for a second? So, yeah, I'm standing in front of the camera, I'm lighting on myself, and it doesn't react at all. I turn that around, it's not impressed, right? And it works even with really strong flashlights. So again, to the IR stream, there's a regular IR stream and a long exposure IR stream. The latter one existing to be able to do, for example, heart rate detection, because the other one is too noisy to build an algorithm on top of that. Again, heart rate detection, for example, doesn't come out of the box. You would have to build that yourself or buy IP for that. So the other example I wanted to show you is, again, going back to the body. You have a few scenarios that can happen, like when Kinect sees a body, right? I'm standing right in front of it, and this is, by the way, the hand gestures, hand open, hand closed, lasso. And right now, it sees me pretty well. So everything is, the visualization now paints everything in solid lines. My knee is jerking a little bit around, but otherwise it's pretty stable and corresponds to the movements that I make. But it might also be that Kinect doesn't see me as well. So, see, for example, you see the lines at the bottom right now? It means Kinect actually doesn't see, for example, my legs, but it tries to still infer things based on the knowledge what a human body is formed like, where those joints could be. So it's not perfect. You see, it wiggles around and so on. And also, if I turn to the side, you see my left arm here. Now it tries to guess where it is. Hey, welcome. And if you write your own algorithms top of that, of course, you have to. You can use this meta information. What's the confidence for Kinect to actually recognize your joints in your body? So going back to the slides a bit, we will have more demo time further along the line. The other thing that you get out of the box and with some add-ons is you can interact with Kinect and even use it for, well, speech recognition. A typical thing that you see, of course, from the Xbox, hey, you wave your hand or you want to interact with something on the display. So compared to the old Xbox paradigm and then the new Xbox paradigm, there are a few things that have changed. For example, now to interact with the display, we push forward, and we don't hold our hands and wait. Another thing is, like, when we want to grab something, we grab physically. And I think a demo will speak better than just a slide, so we'll move over that relatively quickly. And and with speech, it's a little bit more tricky. You need to download an additional SDK, the speech SDK, if you want to develop that. And it supports several languages. You can define your own grammar. And of course, in the Xbox platform, it's tightly integrated, speech recognition. In your own apps, you have to take care of things a little bit differently. Here, controls basic. So this is just like it comes out of the SDK. It's nothing magical. It would help if Kinect can see me. It is just an example of how you can interact with an application with Kinect. It should be able to see my hand, so I can move my hand to the left and the right. And at one point, I should be able to say, hey, push down, right? So I pushed, I moved my hand a little bit forward to push. Like, you don't need to do crazy movements. Like, if you keep your hand just close to your body and do this, it would be enough to push. The other thing that I accidentally did, like, I zoomed by grabbing. I closed my hands and then moved my hand closer to myself or push away. And actually, those interactions, like if you would be a WPF developer, are built in. You can just use a control in a WPF application and get all those goodies out of the box. For the DirectX developers, there's more code adjustment that you might need to do. But in general, they're good starting points. And also for Windows Store developers, it's also pretty easy to get started with the built-in controls. The other example is speech. That's a little bit tricky to demo, actually, because of the... You want to have a controlled environment, typically with controlled noise levels, and there's some ambient noise here. So again, everything that I'm showing here so far, besides of Kinect Evolution, is available as source code, and you will be able to try out yourself, debug, and so on. I got started through the demos myself when I started to develop for Kinect. So what you see here actually is one of those configuration files, how you would define a grammar in speech. And so it doesn't need any training as long as you say, hey, I speak American English or German and so on. There's a bunch of languages supported. I don't have the complete list. And what this app does is pretty simple. It's supposed to listen to those commands. If it would start. Yeah, and move that turtle. So now if you write your own apps, you actually would be able to say, hey, only listen to me who's standing here in that angle and ignore those people on the left side. But I don't think that's built in. If I say now forward, it doesn't do anything. Forward, turn left, back. So it's really simple to basically interact with an app through speech with that, but requires some download and some tinkering. You're too far away. Oh, it got something. So again, there might be false positives sometimes with speech recognition. You really want to control of your audio signal if you do that. Now, what makes it even cooler is you can, like, a typical problem that you have when you want to develop with Kinect is how to make it repeatable. Like, you want to try your code. Do you want to stand in front of it the whole time and repeat the same gesture 10,000 of times? No, maybe not. So part of the tooling you get with the SDK is Kinect Studio, which is able to record and play back all those data sources that come with Kinect for Windows. On this slide, you also get an idea about the bandwidth that's needed. Like, look at the color bandwidth needed. That's 120 megabyte, not megabit per second, you get in color information. So it's not compressed, and it's really a lot of data. What's interesting is that the body frame and the body index that I mentioned earlier, body frame meaning basically those skeleton points, they're not recorded. They're always inferred by the Kinect for Windows SDK. So basically, Kinect Studio plugs in between Kinect and part of the SDK stack to then give you that body information. The reasons why they're doing that, they want to be able to provide maybe improvements in body tracking over time, and so make that available also for existing recordings. Now, some improvements for Kinect Studio. I mean, if you haven't used it before, it doesn't matter much, but now it can also record audio, and it gives you API access to the whole Kinect Studio API, so you would be able to control playback recording yourself if you would want to develop that. Now it gets, I think, really, really cool. One of the things you want to do often with Kinect is to react to human motion, to gestures, postures, and so on and so forth. There are two different approaches you can have. One is called heuristic or algorithmic, which sometimes is a good approach. For example, you would want to say, is my hand near my head? Like, or do I wave up there? Is my hand raised? That's pretty easy to implement if you have the skeletal data. You just say, is my hand joint coordinate above my head, for example. And for some gestures, that's actually more efficient to implement. On the other hand, you have sometimes really more complex gestures. Think about the golf swing or the baseball swing. To code that would be really, really difficult. And you also would face problems which data sources do you want to use. For example, if you use the skeletal joints that we saw earlier, remember when I turned to the side, that's somewhere only inferred and we're not seen. So in a real human motion, you have a mixture of things that Kinect can see and things that it maybe cannot see. So the disadvantages, it's based on recording something, classifying it, hey, this is gesture X or Y or Z, and then replaying it. So it might take significant effort sometimes to do that. And I will have a demo and for this gesture recognition part also. Little other example about heuristic algorithmic gesture posture detection that I implemented myself, for example. If you just want to detect standing, sitting, or lying, you could just say, hey, Kinect gives you, by the way, also like a equation for the floor, like how far the floor is from the Kinect camera. So you would be able to say, hey, is a skeleton like the spine pointing up and are the legs relatively straight down? And that's a good indication often for standing. And the same thing, like if you would like sit down a little bit, probably the angle between the spine and the legs would change. And that's for many purposes a really good implementation and a really good approach, and might save you a lot of time compared to machine learning approaches. Now, the other thing is, and that's really cool. So with a Kinect for Windows SDK, you get basically some free machine learning capabilities, meaning you can record specific gestures and postures. Then you can say, hey, this gesture is this, and that gesture is that. And then you can apply an algorithm, get a training database out of that, and use that in your own application. And you could even exchange that database later on without changing the application if, for example, you discover some better training. So you have a separation of concerns there also between coding for it and defining the gestures. And the algorithms implemented well, I mean, Ada Boost and random forest regression, but they're for two different purposes. I'm not a machine learning guru, but one is basically good for detecting like a static or discrete gesture, like I'm up, I'm down, and the other one would tell you, hey, I'm making that motion, that I'm so and so far in that motion, and so accurate. So how does it do that? In short, it records an example, then you tag the gesture in a gesture builder. Then you build and analyze that gesture as a database, use it, preview it and then basically rinse and repeat until it works and use it in your own application. But nothing than showing it in real life. So what I'm going to do now, I'm going to start the Kinect Studio first, which again is a tool to record whatever is coming in from Kinect. Okay. So Kinect Studio, it's not connected now, so I connect Kinect Studio to the server that's running. And now, basically, it gives you a view of what's going on, and even the preview gives you 3D representation. You can actually look into that and rotate that. That's nice if you want to make sure that you get everything in your recording that you want. But for the purpose of the demo, let me turn the camera around a little bit so I don't get you nice guys in the video. Let me sit down here and try to start a recording. All right, so I'm going there. I'm sitting down, and let's say, hey, I want to record, I want to react to that if not one arm is to the side, if not left arm is to the side, if they're not up, if they're not up, if they're not doing this, but if both arms are straight, maybe a little bit wiggled here, a little bit wiggled there, and maybe not doing this, and maybe not doing that either, so not angling them towards me. So it recorded that now, and so I stopped the recording, and I can start the gesture builder now. So in the gesture builder, I would say open a new solution and say arms side. And now, well, I would create a new project with a wizard. And in this wizard actually arms to the side helps you to make some decisions for better gesture recognition. For example, it asks you, hey, do I care about my legs or not in the gesture builder? And would say, no, I'm sitting. I could be when I'm standing. Should also work. So it doesn't rely on the joints, lower joints. Then should I care about my hand states, like if I make a lasso or grab something? I would say no. And now do we care if the gesture is symmetrical or not, basically? And, well, in this case, we want to make sure that it grabs, recognizes both arms. And no, we don't know the side of the body it corresponds to. It should react to wherever, however I am. I mean, it doesn't matter much because I was using both arms. And yes, it's symmetrical. And we don't care about how I got to the stage of making the gesture, but it should be discrete gesture. So this is a template, basically. And it will create a new project for me. In that project, I can add a clip. And let's take that recording that I just made. The recording can be pretty large, by the way, though this was 1 gigabyte information just for that little recording right now. Well, I also recorded the color stream, I think, which we didn't need, but, well, that's what we have. So, but so in that recording, I can scroll around. See, that's me. And here, I don't care about this, I don't care about that. So here it gets interesting, right? I'm moving my arms to the side, and I would mark that. Well, maybe I'm waving a little bit. That's still OK. OK, and we don't want that, so we stop right here. And defined our gesture that way. Now we could go forward and check if there are other things in the gist we want, but basically not. And from there, come on. We can say build this. It will build a database. And then we can add a clip to verify what I just did. Well, actually, in the background, here, like it's still building it. So it does all the, it tries to, oops. I think I just ran into a bug. It looks for those classifiers, like how fast am I moving, what are my joint positions, and so on, to then build the machine learning database out of that. Now I should be able to analyze that. Okay, and I got a bug. So maybe, okay. Let me switch to something that I tried earlier on, actually. Sorry about that. Which is just in the hotel room. It's a little bit messy, so but it's pretty much the same thing. And if I do live preview of what I just did, now the Kinect should, this gesture builder should now be able to react to me making the correct gesture. So it should recognize, it should display if I'm moving both arms to the side, like a higher confidence value. See? So it's not trained ideally yet, so maybe if I'm standing up, it's even better. Well, actually not. So and this value you can use in your own apps, for example. The purpose of this is, well, again, this gesture was pretty easy to implement, but you can think of a lot more complex gestures that you don't want to code for, and this tool helps you do that. Again, if you haven't really looked into machine learning a lot, this might sound like, okay, this is not so impressive, but you don't find that really anywhere else for free, I think. Now, another part of the Kinect APIs is something you can install on top of it in your own project is Kinect Fusion and Face. So what does it mean? It's, well, the downside, first of all, it's not free. It's pretty processing intensive, partially. And while the other aspects of like the body index and so on, you just get because Kinect is running and the Kinect service is running. So Kinect Fusion provides you a 3D mesh, a reconstruction of the space that you want to scan of objects. In the Windows Store, there is now an app, 3D Builder, that you actually can use to scan everyday objects and even try to send it to a 3D printing service that was just made available last week. Then Kinect Face, there are two ways you can think about Face. One is it's a 2D way of detecting that there is a face. It will not recognize your face, but it will detect here there's a face, and the face has eyes, and they're in this position, and the mouse is in a specific position, and maybe the person has the eyes closed or the eyes open and something like that. And finally, there's HD Face, which helps you to get your facial features into a 3D model of your face. They use that in the, I think, in the Kinect Sports, how is it called, the new Kinect Sports Evolution or Kinect Sports 2 or 3, I forgot the name. But they use that, a similar technology to get a player's face into that game, and they make that available now for you to use your own apps. So, again, let's try to look at that in real life. This is number 6. So what you see is, again, a sample app that you can, it comes with the SDK browser, and where you can change a lot of parameters and to play around with it and actually can understand how it internally works. And let me reset this. And I'm just holding it here on stage. And you, come on. Oh, here, reset reconstruction. And it should give you an little bit of an idea of what's happening behind stage of those objects. So over time, the accuracy of this will improve. And unfortunately, that's the downside of it. It's very heavy on your GPU. So right now, it's running on one of those Intel 3000 type chipsets, and the GPU is not really powerful to do that in near real time. But you see, I'm moving a Kinect around here a little bit in circular motion. It adjusts the visual point of view in that scene, is able to detect that, how I move that around, and basically adds more and more pixels and information to that scene. So over time, you get a better and better idea about how this object looks like. If you notice, like that surface about that notebook computer that is on the desk, is getting more and more smooth over time. And this now you can export into a mesh, into various formats, into your own 3D modeling and so on tools to do cleanup afterwards, and then, I don't know, do ray tracing on it, or put it in a game, or send it to 3D printing. I can also show you the 3D builder briefly. This is the app I was talking about. It has some basic shapes already built in. But if I want to scan something, see, it even supports color over time and gets, well, it detects that my computer is a little bit slow. But on a fast computer, this will get more and more accurate. And if you go around the object you want to scan, or you can even scan a person, you get a pretty good image or model of the person that you can use in your own apps or to send to 3D printing. The other part, what I was mentioning, face. Okay, wrong demo. So now it should be, you just step away from the, so it recognizes now that there's a face in space. Like, you don't see much other than that, but you can see that, well, actually, let me switch the computer around so I can use one of you to be seen. And the idea is to be able to superimpose the people that I can see as a body with a face, with their facial features. Okay. Let's move that a little bit to here. Hello. Okay, here we are. So it tells us that, well, apparently, I don't know why it doesn't display the actually bodies now, but that there is someone who is, well, here I'm the yellow guy. Am I happy? Yeah, I'm grinning. Well, I'm smiling supposedly. It could be that it has challenges with the lighting conditions a little bit, because for that, I believe they also use color. It's a little bit dark. And so you want to have better lighting conditions for the facial demo. But in general, it gives you a few pointers, like if somebody has a mouth open, the mouth closed, if they're wearing glasses or not, if they're interacting with the Kinect, and so on and so forth. Now, the last part is a little hard to demo. Let's see if I can get a volunteer. Do you mind going stepping in front of the Kinect? Okay. So, okay, it recognized you. And I start a capture. Now, the API to use is interactive, so you will have to record several interactions, and then it reconstructs the face based on that. So I'm starting to capture, and then please look into the camera right now. Follow the instructions. Look into the camera. Okay, let's maybe. As I said, it's a little hard to demo. Yeah, try to look up. Yeah, try to look up, tilt up. Okay. Okay, again. Okay, well, I guess this is a demo condition that I'm good for that here. It will basically transform what you're seeing, the stereotypical face, into a real person's face. We can maybe play around with it at the end of the session when we discover the rest of it, but it requires some calibration to get that right. Now, so far we talked about more developing on the Microsoft stack with Visual Studio, and if it's WPF or if it's direct 2D and so on. But there's also third-party support. So what I already mentioned is Kinect Unity. There's a bridge you can install if you're familiar with Unity. You can just use and then get all the Kinect data into your Unity apps. And another way is the Kinect Common Bridge, which is based on hardcore low-level C and is used to make, for example, creative coding systems like Cinder available for you. There's a huge interest in the artist community to interact with Kinect, and they do all sorts of crazy things like psychedelic displays and you name it. And all this is available for download and, at the links provided. So let me give you finally a little bit of a real-life example, what you can also do if you combine a little bit of the findings that I, or of the methods that I talked about before. So think about what you can do in an application when you see human body. You could get an idea about, how fast are joints moving. Then if you have an idea about the body's dimensions, you can get an idea about energy expenditures, for example. You could, based on that, calculate an activity level, and you could implement fall detection, or you can detect a posture. You can display the center of mass, and all sorts of other things. All right. So this would be just, come on. Looks like the demo gods really hate me right now. Someone unplugged my power. Maybe that's what it is. We try again. Oh, here we are. Okay. So that's a visual representation of me. And what you see is, for example, you see the green arrows represent how fast my joints are moving. The purple arrows would represent how the acceleration deceleration is. you see two different types of motions represented here. One is like I flex my muscles, and you see like in a cyan type motion calculated based on energy expenditure and force calculated based on like a more angular motion. And you would see like in yellowish at the same time visualized absolute motion velocity. All this is fairly easy to implement for a developer. You have to be, however, be aware if you're working on .NET, for example, that you might need to convert the data type. You get a float, but you want maybe a double and so on. But all this is a good starting point to get started. Another practical tip, if you work with anybody this type of body models, you see right now the picture, it doesn't move much. Well, actually, that's not trivial. I turn off a few things here. What I call a filter, or that it's a filter to remove jitter. A common machine vision problem is that you get some uncertainties between individual pictures. So this is me. I didn't do anything else. But if I don't clean up the raw data of Kinect, even so it looks pretty straight, if I want to then do math based off this, like to do calculations for velocity and so on, it's not as clean anymore. So you might want to do a few things based on that. So I actually built an energy expenditure algorithm based on Kinect and based on what you see, just the idea you observe physical work, you can estimate what is somebody doing. And I validated that with me. I'm a year older now and actually put on a few pounds. And with some two different types of like professional armbands that are used for energy expenditure estimation. They measure heat flux, they measure how much you jump around, acceleration, deceleration, and so on. And I realized I came pretty close to that. So in a few cases, types of movements I underestimated, in a few I overestimated. And it really depended on the type of movement I was doing. So that's an interesting thing for you to think about if you ever want to get into this type of business. You might need a classifier on what type of motion you observe to then deduct what the energy used for that might be. So let me give you a call to action after this, right? I mean, talk about it, right? That sounds good. But try to get it, to get your hand on it. The adapter for the Xbox One is really cheap, $50, €50, $50. They calculated one-to-one. Download the SDK and try the samples and demos from the SDK. If you are in a larger team and have only one Kinect, you can use that Kinect Fusion that I mentioned earlier, the Kinect Studio I mentioned earlier, to record something, play it back, and only one person basically needs a physical Kinect. And then try those apps in the store. At the very end, I might even run another app play around with that and be creative. So what we found in companies, I mean, I talk to people who work with large Microsoft customers. Unfortunately, I'm not. But they sometimes do internal hackathons, like in a large company. That's actually even a cool idea if you don't use Kinect. And you will find ideas bubbling out of that you wouldn't even think about before. For announcements, I mean, there's a nice announcement site. Kinect for Windows, easy to remember. And when you download the SDK, there's a free developer program. What does it mean? The Kinect team actually cares about what you're doing with it. There's a forum, if you interact with that, they will actually monitor that and interact with you as a developer. There's no charge for that and no licensing fee whatsoever. So this is my contact information. If you want to reach me, it's all in the downloadable slides. You can ask me, shoot me emails. I have a little blog. And I will go to the questions after the slides that I was supposed to show you. There's related content regarding to this. There's one session that combines different technologies. And I also have a more developer-centric talk where I actually show you how the APIs look like and work. You can also, I don't have fixed booth hours, but if you send me an email or so on, I will make time to talk to you after this or at a party or wherever. And again, those are the resources for the downloads. And I would like to, at this point, open it up for questions, if you don't mind. Can you go to the microphone, maybe? That would be great.
Hi, yes. Is there the possibility to combine more than one Kinect sensor?
That's a very good question. So the question was a little bit quiet here. So there was if you can combine more than one Kinect sensor. So on the previous Kinect for Windows, you were able to do that on the first generation of it. Currently, because of the USB bandwidth, they don't support that yet. I know they're thinking about and want to enable that so far, but you might need a high-end PC with more than one USB 3 controllers. So right now, if you want to combine more than one Kinect, you need to hook them up to two different computers and somehow send the data from one to the other or to a third computer. Okay, so those are a few resources that you also might want to consider of the Windows track. I'm in the Windows track since it's a cool device. I'm still around here for questions if you have any questions. Go to the channel line, go to learning. There's a great Kinect for Windows course actually available on, I think, on channel 9. That walks you through all the features and gives even a deeper introduction than I could ever give you with videos and, linking to the samples. Please complete an eval form. It gives us, everybody, an idea about what we should improve, where our demo should work better, and so on and so forth. And with that, I conclude this talk. But after, I leave that up for a few minutes, I will actually switch down to a demo that you can play with if you want to. So, thank you.